Matthias Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Matthias Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, Saints, and welcome to the Matthias Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date, January 18, 2018. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, course, is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all on our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Excuse me. Anyway, Now, remember, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally and on some FM stations, so please pray about supporting airtime. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program that is also simulcast, or is also simulcast live on the internet, and it's also on some FM stations, so please pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base, which is worldwide in places like Rome, Italy, Istanbul, Turkey, Taiwan, Auckland, New Zealand, and Poland. And, of course, cities in the good old United States such as Kansas City, Missouri, Houston, Texas, Indianapolis, Indiana, New York, New York, and Omaha, Nebraska, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they get the podcast later on tonight. And so, folks, we'll bring on our guests as we have a prayer, but I just want to point out to you that, you know, flu is epidemic proportions across this country, and I, for one, didn't dodge that bullet. And so if I sound a little funny, bear with me, and prayerfully it'll be gone by next week. But I still got traces of it, and so just bear with me. But we've got a great guest who I'm sure can talk more than me. Anyway, now prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray tonight that radio please goes according to your will and not ours, and give everyone out there ears and wish to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight. In your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, I say it every week. We need to look to the holy city, which, of course, is Jerusalem, Israel. There's so much going on there with the opening of, and even with the opening of a synagogue under the Western Wall, where that was kept quiet. Anyway, on today's program, we will look into the geopolitical, spiritual aftermath of Jerusalem being named the capital of Israel by who else? By Donald Trump. Look at the UN reaction and some other things. Very qualified to do this tonight is Pastor Carl Gallups. He's been a best-selling author since 1987. He's a radio talk show host, heard nationally, internationally, TV, radio, guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network, and is also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl's written 6 books now. They are The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, and his latest, which we'll get some insight, I'm sure, out of tonight, Gods and Thrones, Nitesh, I guess that's called Forgotten Prophecy and the Return of the Elohim. And so now, let's welcome Pastor Carl. Are you there with me, Carl?
I am, Pastor Dan. Thank you so much for having me on. It's a great honor to be with you and your tremendous audience. And God bless you, brother, for your health concerns there. I'm going to lift you up in prayer, brother.
Well, I sure appreciate that. I thought this was gone. Like, I've had it for probably at least three weeks now, and every time I thought it was gone, it just simply moved to a different part of my body. But I do think that I'm on the outs with it today. Anyway, so bearing that along, if I'm not my snappy self, you'll understand why. But how's your new year going? We're in a new year, Carl, aren't we?
Yeah, I think it's been since last year, since I've seen you, brother, I'm telling you. But, no, I'm doing great, thank you. I mean, praise the Lord, staying busy. As you said, I have a seventh book coming out. The sixth one, the latest one that's out is, as you just said, Gods and Thrones, Nahash, Forgotten Prophecy, and the Return of the Elohim. But I've got a sequel to that. It doesn't require that people have read Gods and Thrones to enjoy it immensely. But that will be coming out, I think, about May of this year. And I'm not allowed to speak the title yet because we're still working on that. But the publishers are pumped about it, and I am too. So I'm looking forward to that. So anyway, working hard, pastoring this church, and doing a lot of TV and radio, and finishing up this book, and just trying to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ in the middle of this crazy world, brother.
any of that, Carl, do you have any personal time?
No, I don't. Next question.
Yeah, you sat now, so you sound like me. I wear so many different hats, all the different things that I do. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, but we stay busy. My doctor tells me that's how I stay young, is staying busy. So
yeah, well, yeah, my wife and I are both type A personalities. We love what we do, and the Lord has blessed us, and we enjoy being together. We are together a lot because of what we do, and then sometimes we spend weeks apart because of me traveling a lot. But anyway, no, it kind of keeps us young, both of us. We were talking about this just the other day. We had a few days of downtime, and we said, you know, even then we have to stay busy, like reading books or something. I can't just sit around look at four walls, brother. I've got to be busy.
Yeah. Amen. But you know what? That and hitting the nail on the head. My wife is my first reward pleasure. As long as she's with me, I don't feel like I'm working.
Yes, sir. You and I are both the same. That's right. And I think that's the way it probably is supposed to be. And anyway. But no. Thank you for asking me. Things are going well. I praise the Lord for that. And still in good health. And again, thanks to the Lord Jesus. But anyway, looking forward to a great year. I think, you know, brother, I could be wrong. I'm not trying to say that I'm claiming to be a prophet here, but I do believe this is going to be a year of great revelation. I more and more things are being exposed. More and more things are coming to light. I think there's something very biblical and very spiritual about this, brother. We could talk for hours about it. I don't know if you want to even go make this corner and go this way, but I just feel in my bones that things are going to start popping in Washington, D.C., in the United States, and maybe even around the world as to revelations of what's really going on behind the curtains, brother. The gods are behind the thrones, if you will. Excuse the cheap plug, but that's really what that book's about. It's about what's going on in the spiritual realm.
Absolutely. And I really do agree with you. I've been watching this start to come about, you know, especially this last year, of course, with Trump there. But, you know, it seems like he came into office, and we are seeing great and good things happening. But it's like, you know, every demonic thing in the world has popped up against him. And so it is a revealing as to what's happening. And if you want to elaborate any more on it, you can, of course.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were finished. I was going to say, well, yeah, I'll elaborate just a little bit. You and I have talked about some of these things in snippets over the last several times we were together, but let me just kind of put a bow on it here, or at least our thoughts. I can't put the bow on it because, boy, this it's just beginning. But but yeah. let me just reiterate some things and then say some new things here. Listen, brother, I know you know this, and I know your smart audience knows this, but let me just remind people, and or if you haven't thought of it, then please just think about this. The fact that Donald Trump is in office in the first place is an absolute supernatural occurrence. Now, I want your audience to hear me, brother. Again, Donald Trump is a complex person, as we all are. He is not a saint. He is not a holy angel that fell from heaven. He is not the anointed Messiah of the world. He is not the Pope or a pastor. I'm not making him out to be that. I think he's a decent enough man. I mean, overall, just, you know, we all have our flaws. But the point I'm making, brother, please remember, this guy never held a public office in his life. Wasn't even a city councilman. Never ran for dog catcher. He wasn't police chief in a 10-person little outpost town. I mean, he never held an office. He just came up through America and the American dream. Yes, he had some help from a father that I think gave him $1 million back in his day. But look what he turned it into: billions and billions of dollars and a vast empire of construction conglomerate, and even delved into the TV world and entertainment industry and all this. So he's an entrepreneur. And an American dreamer, and I don't mean the illegal dreamer. I mean a person that just, he came from a family of immigrants, as we probably all did. But the point I'm making is he defeated a field of 17 seasoned professional political people, most of them seasoned political people. He defeated the Obama machine. He defeated the Clinton machine. He defeated the deep state machine. He defeated the demonic powers of hell that were coming against him and are still coming against him, and he's still defeating them. Not only defeating them, but confounding them, making fools out of them continually. Now, I don't know how long this is going to last, but I watched this. He waded right through the Republican field. I'm talking about of people like Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush. He defeated the Bush regime. I mean, think about this, brother. That's impossible for a person that hasn't even been a city councilman somewhere, never even been a school board member, hasn't even been elected dog catcher. He defeated the Bushes and the Clintons and the Obamas, and again, I don't repeat myself, but the deep state and on and on, defeated them all, defeated the entire Republican National Convention that was against him at various points and in various ways, then went head-to-head with Hillary Clinton and the DNC machine, and now we know Fusion GPS and the whole Russian dossier thing that they were cooking up behind his back that he had no idea. I mean, he defeated Hollywood. He defeated the mainstream media, all of the onslaught, the fake news, all of the lies. He walked through it all right into the White House. He terrified the enemy. He electrified the American populace. He has confounded the deep state and the leftist leaders of the world had their jaws on the ground. He's a friend to Israel. He finally signed the Embassy Act, the Jerusalem Embassy Act, declaring Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel in a legal manner, and the home of the U.S. Embassy. Not long after that, 10 other nations are now talking to Israel, maybe more by now, but just a few weeks ago, the news headlines was 10 other nations were talking about moving their embassies to Jerusalem. I mean, the United Nations voted against him. Almost all the nations of the world voted against what he did, but he said, I don't care. Israel said, I don't care. United Nations is irrelevant. We're going forward, and they are. I mean, he's standing up to North Korea, to Russia, to China, to Iran, to the globalists, to the global warming people, to the... I mean, brother, who is this guy? Well, he's Donald Trump. But is he Superman? No. Is he an angel from heaven? No. He's a American-loving, Constitution-loving, I'm going to say God-loving. Now, you and I would prefer we could say Jesus-loving, Holy Spirit, born-again, Bible-believing, church-attending. I don't know that he's all that. He claims to be born again now, and I pray that he is. But he doesn't hate God. He doesn't hate the people of God. He doesn't hate the church of God. He doesn't hate Christians or Jews or Israel. I mean, who is this guy? Well, I think he's just a regular dude that has a deep sense of what really is going on in the world, and I think God has his hand on him. God is using him. This is astounding. I mean, when you think of it like I just laid it out, and I wasn't very eloquent in the way I said it, but because there's so much more to it than even what I was able to express, then when you watch in the news, like you alluded to a minute ago, the demonic outpouring against this guy, witches against him, all over the internet, monthly seances they're holding against him over the internet, the Church of Satan, I mean, you know, Islamic terrorists, atheists, I mean, you know, the far leftists, the communists, I mean, look at who's against him. Well, because those people are against him, I just want to be for him. I mean, it's like, you know, everybody that hates Israel is against him. I mean, everybody that hates the church is against him. This is just unbelievable. And
it goes on and on, Carl. I mean, look at it. I mean, he took it. And yeah, first off, let me talk about Trump as a God-fearing man. I choose to believe testimony of various people that have had contact with him, and even the relationship with him and Mike, the vice president.
Yeah, Mike Pence.
A God-fearing man. I tend to take their word that he does believe in God now, and that he got he believed in God before the election, but, you know, aftermath, he really, they claim that he really does. Okay, having said that, look at all the ungodly things that he's coming against. He's put his two cents against the bathroom issue, which was a big deal for me, you know, and all of these things, one after another, at once. I mean, we had people, we've heard politicians always, you know, we'll do this or that, or we'll stand against it. Nobody ever did anything. And this guy is just, you know, knocking down one after another. I can only think that somebody like this has to have been put in there by the Father. And he is our last chance. We have an opportunity as a nation to either get on the bandwagon, stand up for our nation, for God, or I think it's going to completely reverse. Back to you.
Yeah. No, I do too. Listen, all right, you and I both agree. God has his hand on it. God
Amen.
Is using this man. I mean, he is under God's anointing right now. And you know, when you and I use that word, that doesn't mean that I'm going to have him in my pulpit to preach next Sunday. I don't mean that kind of anointing. I mean covering.
Right.
He's under God's covering, the anointing.
Right.
Okay. All right, now, what does that mean in the long run for America? Oh, my gosh, it could be several different things. First of all, it could be, you know, we prayed during the election that night of the election was supernatural, when all of a sudden the Electoral College just turned around. And I mean, everybody was claiming his defeat, and the next thing you know, boom, it turned around. What is this about? Well, we know it's deeply spiritual. We know he's under God's covering. But what does that mean? Does that mean, okay, America is saved? The church can go on about its business. We can start fighting over the color of the carpet again, and who believes in tongues and who doesn't, and who believes in a pre-trib or a mid-trib or post-trib and who doesn't. And does it really mean that? Is that why God answered our prayers when we said, Lord, could you give us some breathing room? I mean, it was either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, and if Hillary Clinton went in, could you imagine? You probably wouldn't even be on the air now. I don't think I would either. But,
I don't think so.
Yeah, and if we were, I mean, we wouldn't be for long. I mean, she had plans. I mean, she would
probably hauled you off in chains by now, Carl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it would. I mean, they had a plan, and I mean, that plan, they were getting ready to lower the boom on this nation in so many different ways. But so what does it mean for Donald Trump to be under God's anointing, being used of God? We asked that God would give us some breathing room, and he did. Now, what does it mean when, what did we mean when we asked for breathing room? Breathing room for what? So we could sit back and be fat and happy and lazy? Or breathing room so that we could get busy and get out here and do what the church is supposed to be doing, what we should have been doing for decades, but we sat around and argued with each other about the color of the carpet or doctrinal issues that don't matter about salvation, but yet we cut each other to ribbons over stuff like that. I mean, those are the things that have always troubled my heart in the ministry. And if they troubled, you know, I mean, brother, if it made me sick and I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, how much more did it make the Lord sick? And yet, we've got a man now who has given us breathing room. God has given us breathing room. Okay, so I think Donald Trump, please forgive me, you and I have made this little joke before, but I'm going to say he might be the last Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be God's last chance for the church to say, okay, you asked me for some breathing room, I'm going to give it to you. Now, what are you going to do with it? So that's why I say, while our national theme right now under Donald Trump is make America great again, I've been telling everybody, let's make the church great again. I mean, let's really keep the main thing, get the main thing, Jesus Christ and him crucified, resurrected, the gospel, changing people's lives and hearts and souls and minds through coming to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and missions and ministry and outreach and discipleship and, I mean, just pouring the coals to it.
Okay, Carl, listen, hold that thought. When we come back from break, in fact, I'm not going to do my normal commercial. I want to get right back into the conversation. I'll save that for the end of the program. This is important stuff. Anyway, Carl, tell them where your website's at real quick, and we'll go to break and come back.
Yes, sir. It's carlgallups.com, CARLGALLUPS. You can find out everything about me there at carlgallups.com.
Yes, folks, go over there. There's a lot of things, a lot of great videos, a lot of things about the books, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Now, normally, folks, I talk about the Wichita Mission Church, but right now we're not going to do that because we had a very good and intense conversation with Pastor Carl Gallup. I'm going to call it, we're talking about the revealing, as Carl called it, that he thinks is coming on this year, and so we'll just go back to Carl and have him take us back into it. Are you with us, Pastor Carl? Can you hear me?
So kind to have me on. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. And you're kind to let me continue with this ranting that I'm doing. But
I want to hear it, man. You know,
okay.
And every day I get to hear Pastor Carl rant on my program.
I know. But I'm so blessed, you know, at the church that I pastor. I've been there 31 years, and people are all the time say sweet things about my preaching, and I say, you know, when I tease them, they say, oh, Brother Carl, we just love your preaching. I say, you know, my wife's the same way. When we go home, she sits me down and says, just preach to me, baby, preach to me. Well,
no comment.
Yeah, of course it's not that way. But anyway, so back to where I left off. Is that okay with you, Pastor Dan?
Go right ahead. I'm here to hear you.
Okay. Well, so we're just talking about Donald Trump. Who is this guy? What's God doing here? Well, we'll find out. I mean, we can only speculate right now, but I was going through some of the possibilities. So we talked about the supernatural nature of him even being in office, and we went through this whole rigmarole of how he defeated everything, the Clinton machine, the Bush machine, the Obama machine, the deep state, the demonic realm, I mean, other national input, and the intrigue of GPS, fusion GPS, and the Russian dossier, and just on and on, and all the lies and the slander, and never been a politician, never even been a dog catcher, but he beats everybody in the Republicans, then squares off against Hillary Clinton, beats her. Now he's in the White House. And so the thing is that I was saying that, you know, that so many Christians were praying when it came down between Trump and Hillary, Lord, give us some breathing room. And it's almost like God said, okay, here's your breathing room. Now what are you going to do with it, church? You going to make the church great again? Or are you just going to go back to business as usual? Okay. So, and we were joking about Trump, his last name being, you know, maybe he's the last Trump, you know, God's last warning. Maybe he's God's last warning to the church, to America. I mean, because we do, at least in Donald Trump, even though he's not perfect, and he's not going to, every decision he makes is not going to make all of us conservatives and Christians happy, but he has given us breathing room. Every time I hear or see him do something that I don't like, I just say to myself, it could have been Hillary. It could have been Hillary. It could have been Hillary. And that makes me say, thank you, Jesus. Even though I don't like what he said today, or even though I'm not wild about this decision he's making, it could have been Hillary. And I don't mean that in the strict political sense. I'm thinking of it in the spiritual sense. I mean, she's the total opposite. She's the anti-Trump, and in many ways with an anti-Christ spirit. I'm not saying she's the anti-Christ, but she does have an anti-Christ spirit. So what's God doing with Trump? Well, he's using him as a wrecking ball. He's obliterating or trying to obliterate the Obama legacy, which is good in my opinion, because Obama certainly had the spirit of Antichrist in him too. He's using Trump as a wrecking ball. He's using Trump as an agent of restoration in America. I mean, our borders, our military, our economy, our allegiance to Israel. Good gosh, against all odds, against the whole world, against the whole communist, liberal, demonic wall that's against him in America, he's doing it. He's only been in office 1 year. Look what he's done. I mean, I was on WorldNet Daily site the other day. They have an article that they've listed 135 things that he's done.
Yeah.
Most of them promises that he made during the campaign, and he's done them. This is astounding. I don't know that Ronald Reagan had a first year like this. So I'm watching this, and there's no way anybody, Pastor Dan, that has any sense of spiritual eyes that can see or hear, if they have an eye to see, we cannot deny the supernatural aspect of this. Now, people that don't see the world through a biblical worldview, I understand how I get it. But for those of us that come from a biblical worldview, how can we miss this? All right, now let's get to a little more of a negative side. It could be, and I've heard various theologians and pastors and Bible researchers speak of this, and I think there's some possible credibility to it. It could be that God will also use Donald Trump to be an instrument of discipline and or judgment on America. What does that mean? That he'll turn evil on us? No, I mean, he could. Anybody could. But I don't think that's not what I mean. And that's not what the theologians I'm here speak. They're saying he could use Donald Trump to bring about eschatological, even end-time prophecies. For example, you and I have been talking, even before Trump went in office, that we've been watching. We have been watching. The world has been watching the Ezekiel 38 nations beginning to form their alliances.
Right.
You know, yeah, Russia, Iran, I mean, all of the Stan nations, Turkey, Syria, I mean, just go down through the whole list of the Middle East, eastern coast of Africa. China's got a military base, so they're included in all that now, China. We've been watching this, and most of those nations are Muslim, and the one or two that are not strictly Muslim, they're heavily Muslim-influenced. So we're watching this. And in the midst of that, see, we know that Ezekiel 38 says that in the last days, God's going to put a hook in the jaw of Gog and Magog, and these nations are going to line around and come together, and then they're going to come against Israel, and particularly Jerusalem. Wow! A hook. What could the hook be? What if the hook are the policies of Donald Trump? Like his policies of complete support for Israel, his policies of allowing Israel, even encouraging Israel to defend herself against Iran and others. His policy of signing into law that Jerusalem is now the capital, that infuriated most of the Muslim world. That could be a hook in the jaw that further unites and joins together these nations that will eventually come and attack. What if it's when Donald Trump is out of office? I mean, I don't want to be morbid. Anybody could die tomorrow. What if Donald Trump died tomorrow? Then maybe these coalitions of nations would see a weak point, and maybe they would come against. I don't know. I'm not wishing for these things, but we know the Word of God says that something in the last days is going to happen. There's going to be some kind of thing that comes from the hand of God that causes these national alliances, largely in the Middle East and probably also including Turkey, Russia, and China, according to the scriptures and according to many theologians, there's going to be something that happens that coalesces and unites them in a solidified unit where they will eventually come against Israel and then particularly Jerusalem. I mean, the book of Joel talks about the last days, Jerusalem being surrounded by the enemies of God's people and all the nations basically abandoning her. Jesus speaks of it in the Gospel of Luke about when you see Jerusalem surrounded by the nations, by the armies, then you will know that you're in those days. So it could be God's going to use Donald Trump that way. So anyway, brother, I mean, we could talk about this for hours, but all I can say is I see, number one, Donald Trump, for whatever reason, because God is God and he can use whoever he wants, he is under God's covering right now, number one. Number two, God is using this man. He is using the man to give breathing room to the church. He's also using this man to expose our evil. Now, I'm going to tell you what, brother, you know this, and a lot of God's people don't like to hear this, Pastor Dan, but you and I are preachers of the word. We know this, so I'm going to say it. When God, before God brought his hand of discipline and even judgment upon the apple of his eye, Israel, he always raised up somebody, whether it was a prophet or a godly king, whom God said, I will use them to lift your skirt and show your nakedness to the world. In other words, that's a picturesque thing, but it's a way of saying, I'm going to expose your shame. And then when I do come against you, anybody that has an eye to see and an ear to hear will know that my judgment is righteous. Well, what's Donald Trump doing, brother? Whether he knows it or not, some of it he's doing, he knows exactly what he's doing. Some of it, I'm convinced God's just using him. He's exposing the shame of America. He's exposing the fake news. He's exposing the brainwashing. He's exposing the stupidity of even God's people who have just walked around la, 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 la with our head in the sand for decades. He's exposing the horrific nature of an open border and godless people lying to each other in Washington, destroying each other. He's exposing that. He's exposing the world's hatred for Israel. We knew the world hated Israel, but Donald Trump has just lifted up his skirts and showed the whole world. So God's using him that way. So, brother, I think 2018 is going to be pivotal. Why? Number one, I feel it in my bones. Number two, things are coalescing and coming together that would make it that way. And number three, we've got the midterm elections coming. Trump knows that if he doesn't win those and get more Republicans in there, it could bring his whole agenda, politically speaking, to a screeching halt. So I think he's going to pull the plug and start exposing as much wickedness as he can to try to shift the vote his way so that he can continue to make America great again. That's my, if you want to call Brother Carl Gallup's making a prophecy, that's my prophecy. Now, I don't claim to be a prophet, and an angel of God didn't show up in my bedroom last night to show me this. This is just stuff that I feel in my chest, brother. I feel it in my soul. I feel it in my heart. I think this is going to be the year.
Yeah, amen. A couple of things on that. Number one, you know, I am real in agreement with you. You know, when he got elected, it was like, you ever see in a cartoon or something where somebody takes a cat and puts clothespins on their tail or sets their tail on fire?
Yeah.
And wow, you know, it's like that, the wickedness and the screeching and the hollering. And it's from things that shouldn't have ever been allowed in this country, you know, and preferably the world. But when you look at this country, you see all of the things, like you say, whether it's the witchcraft or over the bathroom issue, or now we're hearing Trump standing up for medical personnel being able to make religious decisions and saying, hey, I don't want to do that abortion, or I don't want to do that transgender thing. He is he's stepping in all those things, but it is revealing those things because he shouldn't have to stop something. He's saying, well, I'm going to stop this practice. Well, we shouldn't have had to stop it. It should have not even been there.
Exactly.
It's because the church has been quiet, and I always go back to this. The body of Messiah has been quiet, too quiet. Now, I don't know whether they were lulled to sleep because of a pastor. I don't know whether it was because of politically correctness. I'm just saying they've been silent where they shouldn't have been silent, and that's why we're where we're at now. And he is revealing, lifting their skirt and allowing them to see, and the whole world to see. So, Carl, call yourself prophet if you want. I will agree with you 1,000% on what you just said. This is going to be quite a year. And the people out there, the people that have been listening, you have a choice. Do not let the good things that are happening, more money in your pockets and so on and so forth, go to your head and think that it's all okay now. You better get on your knees. You better start repenting. You better look through your life. And whatever your part in is, this for being quiet, you need to stand up and be counted. Because, hang on, we're in for a big ride. And Trump may be our last president. Back to you.
Yeah. Well, brother, thank you for your kind words. And no, we stand in agreement on this. And I'm telling you, I want your audience to remember as you're getting ready to close this broadcast, remember, politically speaking, Donald Trump was a nobody. The closest we'd had in our lifetime to that would have been Ronald Reagan. But you got to remember, because you say, well, he was a Hollywood actor. No. Actually, he was the governor of the most populous, most powerful, wealthiest state in the nation, California. He was a politician. He was deeply connected to the Democrat National Committee and Democrat candidates when he was a Democrat. Then when he switched to Republican, he became a darling of the Republicans and was deeply connected to several U.S. presidents before he even ran. So Ronald Reagan was not a political nobody. Donald Trump was a political nobody. I mean, he had friends that were in politics, but he had never been a politician. He'd never run for office, never run a campaign, ever. He was a political nobody. Now he's the most powerful man in the world, and he's all of these things that we've already talked about. I'm not going to repeat myself. And he's doing all of these things that we said. All the powers of hell are coming against him. But it's for right now, it's rolling off of him, and he's moving forward, including being a great friend to Israel and to Jerusalem. So I just see the hand of God over this. And I'm going to tell you, brother, this whole birth certificate issue, and I mean, we could talk for hours about this, but I know we've only got a few minutes. Mike Zullo and I did a one-hour interview on a radio program today that reaches they're syndicated in 300 markets around the United States. We've got another two-hour interview coming up in a few days that's on a internet radio program that's the largest in the world. They have like 6 million listeners. Word is getting out. We now have information that we've got IP addresses that were collected from a particular website wherein IP addresses from all over Washington, D.C., including right out of the halls of Congress, were keying in on an article where Mike Zullo spilled the beans on a lot of the inside scoop on this fraudulent birth certificate investigation, and Washington is paying attention. I just think some things are going to break on that too, brother. This is the foundational fraud that has been perpetrated against America. And here's my point. Here's the climax I'm coming to. And the whole thing was started by Donald Trump. How weird is that? In 2010 and 2011, a nobody politician, a businessman, was sticking his finger publicly in the chest of Barack Obama, who did not have a long-form birth certificate posted, and nobody knew who he was. He was sticking his finger in his chest saying, "I dare you to post your identity. I dare you." And because of Donald Trump's daring, Barack Obama posted a document that we now know is a complete fabrication from the ground up, which encompasses five federal crimes, and it is now being released, and I can't tell you what the things I know that are maybe getting ready to happen, but the bottom line is the man that's in the White House is the man that got the birth certificate put up there. I mean, how strange is that? And he, and the chances of him being the president are next to nothing, humanly speaking. Next to nothing. It's almost like if I got off out of my desk today and started running for president and won, or if Pastor Dan, if you just came out from behind your microphone and, you know, I'm going to run for president, and you beat everybody. That's what Donald Trump did.
Yeah,
and he's,
absolutely.
Yeah, so there we are. So this is going to be...
I'm going to have to let you go so I can get a little bit in here myself. About the church. First off, the programs that you're talking about, you either put them on your site or point to them somehow where people can find them from your site.
Yes, we will. Yes, they just go to callgallops.com. And right there under my picture, you'll see a yellow link, and there's some archives there that you can see that are just astounding. Plus, anything fresh that we do like that, interviews and stuff, they'll be posted on the PNN News and Ministry website and on my website, carlgallops.com. Yes.
Okay, great. That's what I wanted to do. Well, Carl, thanks for being on with me. I'm going to have to let you go. I got some things to say about the Mission Church, but
I
really appreciate you being on, and we'll talk again soon, brother. Thanks
yes, sir, Pastor Dan. I enjoyed it. I love you, man. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hey, we're advancing the kingdom of God together.
All right. Amen.
You be brother.
Okay. Folks, that was Pastor Carl Gallops. Great talk today, and I'm really thankful for her. That the Father put it on his heart to say all that, because you can tell from my voice I'm not talking very good. Anyway, but I have to get this talk to you about the Wichita Mission Church. Now, you know, right now the CDC has called the 2017-2018 flu an epidemic. It's been found in every state. In Wichita, Kansas, where the Mission Church is located, you know, the hospitals are full capacity. In fact, when I got something for the flu, I didn't go to Wichita to the doctor. I went someplace else, and they told me that they were receiving people that Wichita were sending over to them. Now, they have major, huge major hospitals there. They're all full. That's where at least they're at, folks, in Wichita. You know, we are the only ministry, at least the only one that I know of, all these years, that people can walk into, and if they, you know, they can ask for over-the-counter medications like cough syrup, flu medicine, you know, pain medicine, so on and so forth. Can you imagine having the flu and not having nothing for your headache or for your upset stomach or for, you know, your cough? Can you imagine that? I mean, really. And I bet some of you out there have the flu, or you have friends or relatives that have the flu. Can you imagine that? Well, so if you can even get into the emergency room in Wichita now, they won't be able to give you these things to go. You still got to find a way to get them. If they give you a prescription, you got to find a way to get them. You know, you got to have transportation. You got to have money. Well, we give out over-the-counter medications. We give out pain relievers over-the-counter. And, you know, I've even had people saying, tell me over the years, well, Pastor Dan, you know, you get sued if you do give the wrong treatment. It's the least of my worries, you know, with everything that's given a prayer. But my point is we do these things. But, you know, we went through so much tribulation in the last few weeks. partially because of me getting sick and not being able to function properly. I'm coming back now, but we had heat loss here in the office, as you folks know, and you know, finally we got the microphone fixed, and you know, it needs adjusted. Probably if you've heard differences in the volume of the mic today, that's because I'm trying to get it adjusted. These things have been hard to do because I have the flu, but I've had medication to function. What if you don't have those things? Well, that's just part. That's a small thing that the Wichita Mission Church do. But we need your support right now from not being, you know, while we got back on the air last week, you know, I wasn't able to expound on these things, but we lost a lot of donations because we weren't on during the end of last year and the first week of this year. So we really need your wallet down. We really need your support. We need a few major donations to come in. My wife told me today, she said, hey, look, you know, the bones and different things aren't going to make it because things haven't came in. Now, which is really upsetting because I started seeing an uptick just before the 1st of December, which is surprising that people that normally donating were starting to increase their donation. And I think that's going to happen big time this year. But we've got to get through. We've got to get out of this hole that we're in. I think we'll make it really good after income tax finally goes about. But we need your help now. That's the bottom line. Whatever reason, we need your help now, and we need it majorly. So pray about it. If you live in Wichita, you can go to the Dollar Tree or whatever over there and buy some over-the-counter medications. If there's any on the shelf, bring them to us. We also need blankets, coats, hats. I have some hats right now, but I don't know how long I'll have them. Gloves is a big thing. I have no gloves. We need gloves and blankets and over-the-counter medications. And then we also need money for the Mission Church build. You know, we was even out of heat over there at the Mission Church, and I think that is supposed to be remedied. So just pray about it. Support us, folks, so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. Men, women, and children, they come in from all walks of life. People that have had bad breaks. And then, you know, people would say, well, Pastor Dan, you take care of the homeless. Take care of the poor also. People walk in the door, I don't ask them, you know, hey, are you homeless? Do you live here or there? Many are struggling because they have been doing under Obama. They could only work 30 hours a week or so because, you know, they were hired in a sense of not to do a 40-hour week because they would have had to have insurance bought for them. You guys know the drill. I don't really think I even need to tell you. So these people are poor. They come in looking for food, clothing, over-the-counter medications, prayers. Many, many miracle prayers are given. Bibles. We're out of King James, large print Bibles. We need Bibles. We give thousands and thousands of Bibles out. We need Bibles. We've been doing this 18 years, folks. Pray about it. Help us out. You know, help us get over this thing. And if you got an extra prayer in there someplace, pray that the rest of this cold or flu or whatever it is gets out of my system. Because I'm, you know, right now, currently, I'm needed by a lot of people. Anyway, so why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love's the answer. People come, and they're treated as family. We don't have any set guidelines why you can be there. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need, you know. And if we have it, we give it to them. If we don't, if they're willing, we'll pray it in with them. And, you know, that's even why the agencies tell their, you know, they tell their employees, hey, mention the Wichita Mission Church. If you can't help them, they do that. People that have millions of dollars in budgets send people to a place that has no budget. It's just crazy, don't you think? We are the last hope for so many, and we're responsible to care one brother for another, and we are brother's keepers. All donations, really all donations, no matter what size help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. And remember, if you don't wish to help the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. You can donate online or mail a check or money order and find all the information at prophecyhour.com. But remember, there is only one God, and He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave His life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, is the way to the Father. Remember always, always, always to what? Be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.